It's time for the Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Hour number 3 of the Drive underway right here on Fan Run Radio. Defections from the Lady Vols. Number 1 story on your Top 5 at 5. Zay Green will depart from Tennessee. She confirms her exit today via social media. Sophomore point guard, the second player to depart Tennessee following the season. Jasmine Massengill is now in the transfer portal as well after 2 seasons with the Lady Vols. Number 2, the Patriots are reportedly releasing quarterback Cody Kessler as fans debate who will be slated to take Tom Brady's spot after the NFL veteran left for Tampa Bay. Guys, Cody Kessler, we hardly knew ye. What are the Patriots going to do at quarterback? You think they draft somebody? Or are they going to go the Brian Hoyer route? What would you do if you were Belichick? He's not just going to roll in there with a rookie or some scrub, is he?
Probably not. But I mean, who's he going to get? I mean, who else still out there, free agent? Jameis?
Famous Jameis?
I can't see him, you know, pulled into the Patriot way.
How about Cam the Scam?
Cam Newton, I could see.
What about trading for Andy Dalton?
That's intriguing. He's going to do something, man. He's going to go out there with a viable option. There's no way Belichick just plays the, well, you know, if we play the 20, there's no way the next time the Patriots play football, whenever that is, it's Bill Belichick is the coach and he's just got some scrub at quarterback.
You don't think Jared Stidham can handle it?
No.
Not really. No. Number 3, with NFL facilities closed during the coronavirus pandemic, the New Orleans Saints had to find a new space to set up their makeshift draft headquarters. So they turned to a draft headquarters. The Saints have set up shop in the brand new Dixie Brewing Company facility in East New Orleans, which is also owned by team owner Gail Benson and is closed to the public for the time being. Saints coach Sean Payton said the team is prepared to stay at the brewery through the draft on April the 23rd through the 25th if needed. How cool would that be to be working out of a brewery?
That's my coach.
How's he doing? Doesn't he have the virus?
He's got to be doing okay if he's doing interviews and stuff, I'd imagine. I don't know. I haven't called or checked up on him yet.
You see some of these guys on TV, like, doing a video from, like, you know, in quarantine. Some of these guys look in pretty rough shape, you know? But he's
especially
doing
Como last night.
What's that?
Como last night. On CNN, he's got the virus. He was doing the show from home. He just looked horrible.
Mm. Oh, so he's doing his show with the coronavirus on CNN? He's still doing it?
Yes, every night at 9 o'clock from home in his basement. Yeah, I had to tune in to watch it last night. It was pretty intense.
I mean, I'm not familiar. I know who he is, but I never watch CNN anymore. Well, hardly watch it anymore, so I didn't know. I didn't know he was still on the air, but that's pretty impressive. All right, number 4, 2 Premier League clubs in England receiving heavy criticism for cutting non-playing staff salaries. Newcastle United and Tottenham Hotspur will make use of the UK government's furlough scheme with their non-playing staff. Many are suggesting that other staff members at the club should take a pay cut instead. Here's my thing, gentlemen. It's nice that some of these athletes are stepping up to pay for arena staff and stuff like that through the end of the season. And maybe we can cover everybody through the end of whatever seasons were interrupted in whatever sports you like. If we don't play sports, if the next season doesn't start, if the next football season, if we don't get to finish basketball, if the NBA is delayed, if Major League Baseball doesn't get played this year, if all this stuff, if we just can't get it off the ground, then people are going to have to start taking pay cuts somewhere. And that goes for colleges as well. How are some of these schools, Tennessee among them, that don't have a tremendous reserve fund built up over the years, how are they going to pay these exorbitant coaching salaries if we don't have football?
They aren't. I don't know. I mean, question. That's $64,000
question. There's not a great answer, is there?
No, there's not. Not at all. I don't know. Wow. I think this could end up being are we going to have a return to some kind of fiscal responsibility? Will this, trigger getting rid of these stupid buyouts? And
it's kind of like what we're talking about with the NCAA in hour number one. And if you missed if you haven't watched sorry guys, I've been chowing down on some of my wife's delicious Chex Mix, homemade Chex Mix here, and that probably wasn't a wise idea because I keep getting the little tickle, caught in the back of my throat. But I'm making it through here. Anyway, you go back and listen to hour number one. We did an entire hour on the HBO documentary, The Scheme, that premiered last night. But it's the same thing, Bear. We talk about the NCAA is going to have to redo how they do business. If they can't enforce the rules with what happened at Arizona and LSU in college basketball under those coaches, then they really have no reason to be around anymore. And, why not now? What better time? You could say, well, there's all this stuff going, oh, okay, fair enough. We got to save lives first. But if we're going to miss a considerable amount of time in the world of sports for these colleges, why not now, man? Why not cut out a bigger slice of the pie for the quote-unquote student-athletes out there? And you know what? If you can't pay Nick Saban $9 million a year to coach college football, then don't pay him $9 million a year. I'm sorry. Like, what makes sense. And the salaries these guys making stopped making sense, like the Talking Heads sung a long time ago.
I tend to agree with you. I'll be interested. Well, here's the thing, too, though. I go back on this as well. What's covered under every university's insurance policy, when it comes to situations like this? I mean, is the university covered, for instances, at a public university to be able to cover costs like this? Is there, Tennessee's rainy day fund's not that hefty. I think we can agree to that one. I don't know. I mean, I know Nick Saban's not going to be like, hey, you know what? It's okay, Alabama boosters. Y'all just take $2 million off my contract for the next 2 years and just spread that around. That ain't happening.
Well, I hope we get all this figured out. But, I mean, you talk about the wrong tone, being tone deaf, stuff like that. Like, if this situation persists for months and we can't return to some semblance of a normal life for a long time, and like the economy just crashes and we have 30% unemployment and we have, companies going under left and right, my goodness, continuing to pay these coaches for their normal salary and we don't even have a season, if that's what comes to pass, like, I don't see how you do that. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the money's just so big that they do what they have to do and they pay those guys. But good grief. Where are our priorities as a people? Anyway, number five, last one for you here. The Great Smoky Mountains National Park closing all park areas except for the Foothills Parkway and the Spur to help stop the spread of the coronavirus. Initially, officials said the closure would last 2 weeks. And they announced today that the parks will remain closed all month through the end of April. So
actually drove the Foothills Parkway today, actually.
There you have it, the top five at five. And actually some some late breaking news here on the show. This is file this one under the kind of scary file this afternoon. David Ubbin of The Athletic about 13 minutes ago dropped a story about the military assessing UT's athletic facilities as possible sites that could be used in case of an emergency related to COVID-19.
I don't know if that's so much scary as I'm glad that they're being proactive.
Yeah, I'd heard that, you know, they did that. They toured Thompson Bowling Arena, looked at different, you know, checked out like the media rooms, and they checked out locker rooms where they'd be able to put patients if need be, even on the floor of TBA since nothing's going on there. I didn't know about the rec center. I don't know how that one would go over, but if they really needed to, there's a 100-yard indoor facility right there that I'm sure could fit a lot of different beds if they needed it. Can you imagine Jeremy's response to that?
Well, I don't think they'd ask him.
I just like our governor yesterday who said, what was his quote? We're almost through the wave or something. Like what did he say yesterday?
Something about getting through the wave of the process, something like, I know what you're talking about.
I mean, he had something, you know, some just completely asinine comment about how the worst is almost behind us. Meanwhile, they're setting up triage units in the hotels in the mid-state, and apparently we've got the Army going through Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena, seeing if we can turn it into some sort of makeshift hospital. Gov, we've got the situation under control. Y'all, bang up job.
Well, I really enjoyed the state of Georgia's governor today, saying that he put a shelter in place order today. He came out in his press conference and said, "Well, I didn't really know the virus could actually be in somebody that was not showing symptoms yet." So that's why I'm shutting down the state, pretty much.
As your governor, Georgia, he's on top of things, huh?
He's doing that. Georgia's getting ready to get hammered. I mean, they already are. Down Albany is, believe it or not, even though there's only like 90-something thousand, the population's only like 90-something thousand, they're one of the hottest spots in the country.
They said 47 long-term care facilities in Georgia have COVID outbreaks that they're investigating right now.
Well, they have one of those small towns, I think, surrounding Atlanta had a situation where somebody came from out of state, I think from New York, to a funeral.
That was Albany. That was Albany.
Albany, Georgia?
Yeah. They came for a funeral for... I read the story last night. They came in from New York for the funeral.
Yeah.
There
are 200 people at the funeral, and like 90 of them have since come down with the illness.
Yeah. But they have no idea who patient zero was there. And it's apparently spread like wildfire all over Albany, Georgia.
Golly.
Is that the same county as is that Bartow County there?
I'm not sure. It's down there in the southwest corner.
Yeah, that's it. Columbia County, Georgia. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I'm reading something right now that said it began after some drove 200 miles to Bartow County to attend a church service where three people were unknowingly infected. Four counties in Georgia now have outbreaks because of that one service.
Well, I don't want to dwell too much on it because, hopefully – the people in charge are doing what they're supposed to be doing and handling this. But from my vantage point, having spent the better part of a week here at Stately Smith Manor, I told you at the beginning of the show, I got to go out earlier today and just ride around. I went to National RX and picked up a few things. But golly, man, there are a lot of people out and about. Like I was I was not expecting to see as many people as I did. There were, I mean, maybe a little bit less people than are usually out around noon, but not by much, man. Not by much.
Yeah, I know. And people are idiots. And until they just absolutely, you know, just shut it down and go to a hard lockdown where it's, you know, grocery stores, pharmacies, and essential services, then people are going to continue to get out and about.
Let's get Sean in here. Good afternoon, Sean. You're on the drive, Fan Run Radio.
Well, I didn't call to talk COVID-19, but I will throw my two cents in real quick. As you all know, with what I do in the industry that I work in, the wine and spirits distribution, you know, I hear about families going into like Walmart because they're bored and there's no place else to go. It's absurd. And if anybody in our facility gets sick with COVID, we have to shut down for 2 weeks. So your package stores might be able to remain open, but we cannot deliver.
You hear that, people? You want your booze. You want your booze. You want Sean to be able to get your booze to where it needs to be on time so that you can buy it and get your booze? Stay home.
Stay home.
I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. Stay home or there won't be no booze.
See, here's going to be the problem if they shut all the, you shut off all alcohol sales. I mean, it's not a significant portion of the population, but it's more than a few people are hardcore alcoholics enough to where you can't just stop drinking.
And this is true. And like I said, the stores don't have to close. We just can't deliver. We as a business have to be shut down for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the stores can still, you know, sell their product, but we can't bring them any new product for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, you know, like I said, I have asthma and it sucks and I still have to keep working and I'm taking every precaution I can. But, you know, these people who are going out just to go out and buy, you know, 250 milliliter bottles at a time, I mean, you know, come on, go in, get what you need for the week or whatever and get out. Don't need to come back to the store three or four times a day.
You know, it's the science of addiction is, it's sad, you know, and I've gotten to know several liquor store owners, and you probably know this as well, Sean, like, all these stores, they have what they call their regulars.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, folks go by these stores every single day, sometimes multiple times a day. Like these people will go into these stores just to buy, you know, a little airplane bottle, maybe a couple of airplane bottles, maybe a 10-ounce bottle if they can afford it or whatever. That's like an everyday thing for some people. Mm-hmm. I'm all for having a couple of drinks, man, but the alcoholism, it's a sad deal.
It is. And that's what I'm saying. You know, just cut down on your visits, you know, buy is, you know, what you need for the week instead of those two or three airplane bottles every day or whatever.
Yeah.
But like I said, that's not the reason why I called, man. Let's go back to positive. Like I said, the drive is great because we can talk about other things in sports, and you guys were talking about movie endings and movies.
Uh-huh.
Russell, have you watched The Departed yet?
Oh, yeah. A classic.
Okay, you did watch it.
Great Matt Damon performance. Great. You know, my favorite part of the Departed, and it's a great story. Jack Nicholson's performance is wonderful. The interaction between Alec Baldwin and Mark Wahlberg, where they're just like trash-talking each other real fast. I love that aspect of that movie.
Yeah, I liked Martin Sheen's accent. I can't remember his character's name.
I mean, DiCaprio and Matt Damon were very good in that, but there were so many other just great performances in that movie.
Okay, yeah. And then movie endings, another DiCaprio movie, which these two movies actually made me a DiCaprio fan, is the Christopher Nolan movie, Inception. I don't know if you guys
ever seen
it yet. Great movie. Great.
Oh, yeah.
If you like Christopher Nolan movies.
Do you guys like movies that end open-ended where it's like up to your interpretation, or do you just like to be told, here's what happened, this is how the movie ended?
I want to know how the movie ended.
Me too. I know you're supposed. I know you're supposed to say, "Oh, I like it. It's totally up to you and everything." Nah, I like to be told, man. Like, if I'm going to sit through the entire 2-hour flick, I'm going to invest that, or I'm going to pay $10 to go see the movie. Tell me how the damn story ends. Is that too much, Hollywood? Is that too much to ask for?
It was a great movie, though.
It was a good movie. It was. It didn't take away too much from it.
No, it really didn't. Spencer Confidential, you all watched that yet?
Yeah, I did.
That's a good one.
What about, just off the top of my head, great movie endings. You guys seen The Prestige?
No.
With Hugh Jackman and Christian Bale, where they're both magicians in Victorian era England. Oh, fantastic movie. Barry, you would love it. Great twist ending.
So, last question. Who has seen
Christopher
The Irishman?
Nolan movie, I believe, as well.
Is it worth my time to watch?
What's that?
The Irishman, is it worth my time to watch? Has anybody seen it?
I watched
it. Yeah, there's a way. You need to look it up online. They give you – it's super long, but somebody figured out you can split it up into, like, three parts, and it's a lot better to watch it that way. Just treat it like a three-part miniseries.
That's what I did, Sean. I did not watch it in one sitting. I think I started it one night, and then, like, I was like, this is too long, man. I got to go to bed. I think I finished it the next day. But it was good. I mean, you were talking about Scorsese films. I don't think it's to the level of The Departed or Goodfellas or Casino or some of his other ones. But it was solid. And I had never gone down the Jimmy Hoffa rabbit hole. Like, I just kind of knew. It was like, oh, he's buried underneath the Meadowlands, you know, whatever, he disappeared. But I'd never really gone down that rabbit hole. So from that, it was cool just to hear that story because I'd never really heard the Jimmy Hoffa story.
All right. I'll give it a shot this weekend. You guys keep up the good work, and I'll keep listening.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it. We got to take a quick break. Stay with us. You're listening to The Drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Back with more after this. Fan Run Radio. Drive continues. Russell Smith, Trey Wallace, and The Bear cruising with you here on a Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Taking your phone calls, 865-546-8200. Special guest on the show tomorrow for the first time in, gosh, I guess it's been 5 years now. Trey, we have a big one on tomorrow.
Yeah, we're excited. Rick Barnes, head coach of the Tennessee men's basketball team, going to join us at 5:05 Eastern time tomorrow. Look forward to a good conversation about, you know, what he's up to, how this recruiting, you know, stuff is going to affect them, what the players are up to, and, you know, when things get back to normal for him and his take. So, excited to have Coach Barnes on with us tomorrow. First time on the show, like you said, in 5 years, so this should be fun.
Cool. See, I told you this Trey Wallace guy was going to pay off getting some decent guests eventually, Bear.
Yeah. You did.
Told you so.
I'm still in the training period when it comes to Bear, so, you know.
What do you think, Barry? We're getting Rick Barnes on the show. You excited?
Who, me? I mean, yeah, I guess. Sure.
No, the other Bear. Yes, you.
Well, you didn't say Bear. If you notice, it's kind of hard to hear. Yeah, that'll be interesting. You going to ask some hard questions for us?
Like what? If you had just one question, if you could ask Rick Barnes just one question.
That I know he could, if he could comment on it?
Yeah, and he's hooked up to the Fan Run lie detector. He's got sodium pentothal in his veins. What one question are you asking him?
Why haven't you gone out and gotten us a big man. And I'd let him know that I know where one is. It's going to be available. Well, he's available right
there
now.
There it is.
That would be – and see, people think it's an act sometimes. I know, Bear, it is not an act. If he had just like 2 minutes with Rick Barnes, he just like sees him out in public and is like going to go – Bear would definitely spend – he wouldn't talk to him like, how's it going, coach? How's the family? Golly, man, I really like Vescovi. You got a good team next year. He would definitely use his 60 seconds to pitch Rick Barnes on the benefits of signing Akeem Adesupe.
I mean, you know.
A young man Bear would never have heard of if he played at West High School.
Well, would have to. But since he went to Catholic, I know a lot more about him. The kid's, you know, he's got like a 3.5 grade point average. It's a hell of a story. Just, you know, it's a feel-good story. And he's also almost 6'10", 230 pounds, and, you know, incredibly athletic. I don't know. Buck Pearl's been recruiting him, so, yeah. It's just going to kill me if he ends up somewhere in the SEC and it's not Tennessee. I'm going to make you guys miserable for the next 3 years.
I'll just take me now.
And that'll be different from the previous 3 years, Hal?
You can go to hell, Russ. How about that?
865-546-8200 if you want to jump in here this afternoon on the show as we break things down.
Hey, Russ?
Yeah.
You know what I find interesting with this new evaluation period that they're not going to have till May 31st? We haven't brought this name up in a long time, and I'm going to just bring it up. You know, good old Zach Evans that Florida, Ole Miss, and Tennessee were going after. You know, he was planning on taking that visit March 20th to Gainesville, but he might not be able to step on a college campus till July. For a visit.
The last I heard, I think it was the guys over at VolQuest were speculating that it might be one of those situations if there's no recruitment that can happen, that the most likely scenario is whenever school starts up again, whether it's in June, July, August, September, whenever, that Zach Evans would just show up. And be on scholarship somewhere at and most likely Tennessee or Ole Miss.
Well, the crazy part about that is it's not just Zach Evans. I just used him as an example. But think of the players that are in the transfer portal that their names in there and were hoping to go take visits to places. And now they're just going to have to make a decision.
You know, I hate it for everybody. I hate it mostly for working class families that have lost jobs, you know, in this country, first and foremost, you know, people that are, you know, A, have gotten really sick or know somebody that's gotten really sick. And then B, like people who have lost jobs and are going to be struggling for years to come as a result of this. But it hits everybody in different ways. And if you're a 17-year-old kid, if you're Jaden Springer, if you're Keon Johnson, you know, you're thinking, man, like, of all the rotten luck, like, this is supposed to be my time where I come in early and I'm working with Rick Barnes and my new teammates and I'm ready to hit the ground running. And that's just been taken away from these guys. What about the rising seniors in high school right now that this is supposed to be the summer where they go on the visits, where they go with their 7-on-7 team and they camp somewhere and get to take tours of UT and Clemson and Alabama and Florida and all these big time schools. You know, I mean, imagine how your jaw would hit the floor every time you walk in the door. You're 17 years old like that. You're getting to live the dream. And that part of it is, for the time being, hopefully just temporarily, it's being taken away from them. It's tough. It's really tough.
I agree completely because, you know, what's interesting as well, Russ, is, you know, think about all of these camps, and look, we're talking about football because that's just what we do on the show, but think about all the camps that these companies put on and how these, you know, you said, like how these young players get, you know, exposure, these 707. Like you think about different places that people are losing money to that are involved in this business and how they go about it as well. And, you know, this just trickles down to so many different areas that you might not have thought of at first. But now you're really starting to think of, especially in the sports business.
Yeah. No, it's tough on a lot of people. And, you know, all these businesses are interconnected and everything. And, you know, heck, I'm just wondering, you know, when are we going to be able to get these kids back in school? Is that a thing? I did see, I don't want you to think it's all doom and gloom. I did see somebody tweeting out that they had a friend in South Korea and that their kids are getting set to go back to school next week. So if South Korea can do it, surely we can too. I know it's different countries, different sizes, different populations, all that stuff. But my God, man, it sounds like we're in for a really just awful month in terms of loss of life in this country. But there seems to be some hope in the medical community that it tails off, that we're going to peak here in a couple of weeks and that it's going to tail off. And, man, I just hope that, like all you, that we can get back to normal as soon as possible. Let's take a quick break. You're listening to The Drive, 865-546-8200. Your phone number, jump in. Go ahead, take a shot now. We got lines available. Back with more of your phone calls coming up. Continues. 865-546-8200, your number to get up with us this afternoon, 546-8200. You want to join on the show, give us a ring. Rick Barnes going to join us tomorrow. Trey, what's your one burning question you want to ask the head coach of the Vols when he joins us on the air for a brief chat tomorrow afternoon?
Ooh, man. I'd like to know if the head coaches got together that Wednesday night of the SEC tournament when Vanderbilt and Ole Miss, Georgia, and Arkansas were then playing. I'd like to know if they got together late that night or had a conference call, just the head coaches, and said, hey, you know, do we make a stand here and say that we're not going to play? Because, you know, he talked about that on Thursday to Marty Smith, who y'all love. he was talking about how, you know, we shouldn't be out here playing. You know, why do we have to be the ones that have to, you know, stand up and play first? You know what I mean? I'm paraphrasing, but that was kind of along his comments. I'd like to know more background of what happened that Wednesday night and how it all went down, you know, Thursday morning.
Know what I want to ask him about?
Uh-oh.
And we definitely have to hook him up to the fan-run polygraph for this one, but I want to know what he thinks about last night. I want to know what he thinks about being in the same league as a guy like Will Wade. I want to know I want to know what he thinks about the fact that if the NCAA would do its job, if it still had any teeth at all as an organization, he would be we would have back-to-back SEC championships.
I think that's a legitimate question.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can approach it in a way that, you know, I think he'll talk about it. I mean, Rick Barnes generally is pretty forthcoming and will talk about just about anything. But that's got to be for the coaches out there that aren't up to their elbows in the sleaze, and I like to think that he's one of those. It's got to be pretty frustrating to look around and see Sean Miller and Will Wade coaching at their respective schools and you know, we'll see what happens, but my gut says it ain't going to be much. And whenever we start playing college basketball again, those guys are going to be on the sideline.
I tend to agree with you. I just don't know when you know, look, here's the thing. You know, he has a great relationship with Frank Martin, and he's got a, you know, him and Buzz Williams have a relationship.
He's tied with Calipari.
I'd like to be a fly on the wall during those conversations about
this
stuff.
Well, Frank Martin, that one of those guys.
Yeah,
was it Lamont Evans was on his staff.
I know.
That's one of the interesting things about Rick Barnes is, you know, he's well respected within the industry. I don't know of many people that don't like him. I'm sure, you know, when you get that many egos, there's probably always guys that clash. But I mean, he's tight with Calipari, you know. It's a strange business, that basketball coaching thing. And like Christian Dawkins said at the end of the documentary, if, you know, that's the kind of money that's being thrown around for college basketball players, what do you think they're throwing around for college football players where the revenue is about five times what it is in college basketball?
Wow. Yeah, I don't know.
I know. I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's about five times the amount of money that they're paying the college basketball players. That's what they're paying the college football players. You know, I'm no rocket surgeon, but I don't think all those guys are playing for free. You know, when we pass these laws and by the time we start playing college football again, it looks like most of these states are going to make it legal for players to sell their name, image, and likeness to other companies. Maybe that takes care of some of it. Hopefully that takes care of some of it. Hopefully the players that in some cases are pretty desperate for this cash, their family's pretty desperate at times for this cash while they're going to school or whatever and waiting their time before they can go to the NBA or the NFL. Hopefully they're taken care of a little bit so that they don't feel the need to engage with some of the shady characters that are out there, basically preying upon these kids. Now, I don't really like this analogy, and people make it a lot, but they say that, you know, these guys are pimping the kids out. I don't like comparing the players, the prospects, to prostitutes, but I see where you draw the comparison. Well, whenever you turn on Cops, and that is my favorite kind of Cops, you know, you can have your car chases and robberies and domestic violence calls and everything. You know what my favorite episodes of Cops are, Bear?
What's that, Russ?
Prostitution busts.
Really?
I love it when they've got my favorite is when the cop is like pretending to be the prostitute out like by the dumpster behind some convenience store, and they get the John on tapes, like agree to it, and then all of a sudden the cops come up and bust him. He's like, oh, don't tell my wife. My second favorite is when they rent out a hotel room and like the lady meets him in the hotel room and like the entire police force is in the room next door and they burst through the door and like pin the guy to the bed. That's my favorite kind of cops. But anyway, when you're watching that episode, who gets arrested, Bear?
The John.
Usually it's the John, right? Every now and then they change it up and they arrest the prostitute. But generally, like, I always feel sorry for the prostitute. It's like, oh, God, like, what has happened in this poor woman's life that this is where she ended up? But with the Johns, they're always just the most pathetic creeps like you could possibly imagine, right? So who's the John? Who's the John in this analogy, in the college basketball analogy? Who benefits from what the pimps are selling?
The coaches. For the fans. I don't, you know.
No, you're right. The coaches.
Okay.
So who got the prison term?
A kid that really didn't do, that got in trap. He got convicted of breaking an NCAA violation.
The pimp. They sent the pimp to jail. The prostitute and the John goes free. How about that?
Yeah. I mean, that's the part that jumped out at me, is they basically made a, you know, what normally would be an NCAA violation into a federal felony. The scary part to me is, as soon as you tell the FBI you aren't cooperating, apparently five guys with machine guns come in after you.
Yeah, that seemed like a – there's so many – if you're one of these, like, government waste, taxpayer waste people, yeah, you know, it's outrageous. You watch that thing.
I want to know what happened to the D'Angelo. Because if you go – he never really said anything about it, but when Christian Dawkins was talking – when they were talking about the Vegas trip,
yeah,
when he went down to the lobby to go out, him and I can't remember if it was Merle or whoever, and they spotted the D'Angelo undercover guy with the Marty Blazer guy gambling.
With government money.
Yeah.
With our money. Just playing craps, playing blackjack.
Yeah. I don't know. I may go back and rewatch it again. It just, I'm Christian Dawkins, I came away, I never thought I'd feel that way, but he was, to me, he was a pretty sympathetic character in all of it.
Nah. I mean, I didn't feel sympathetic to, I don't think he deserves any prison time, but I didn't feel sympathetic for him, man. He's using those kids to fulfill his own ego and his own dreams, and he doesn't give a damn about anybody but himself. So, like, I don't think he deserves to go to prison. If he does, the other guys deserve to go more. But I don't think – it was kind of like the Tiger King, in that I don't think anybody came out looking sympathetic, man. It was all – there was a lot of blame to go around. We got to take a quick break. Stay with us. The shocking conclusion of The Drive coming up. Speak now, forever hold your peace. We're back to wrap things up after this. Welcome back. Wrapping up The Drive, Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Let's get Roger in here for our final call of the evening. What up, Rog?
Not much. Hey, how y'all doing?
Big Rog. Doing well, man. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I just want to ask a question to y'all. To y'all, Bear, too, all of y'all. I have this question to y'all, football season. I just want to ask y'all: would y'all be in favor? Would y'all be in favor of football season starting early, like through September? Or would you be in favor? I'm just curious. Would y'all be in favor in football season starting a little earlier? But it's like July or August. Would y'all be in favor? Would y'all be in favor of that?
I'd be in favor of it, Raj, if we're afraid that it's going to bounce back, that the disease might clear up, the curve might flatten or whatever, and we feel like we can safely play football starting a little bit earlier, and we're afraid it might bounce back harder and stronger in the fall the way the 1918 flu did, then sure, do whatever you got to do. I want to watch football just as badly as the next person, but Bear, I'm just skeptical that that's going to be a possibility.
Yeah.
Football?
Yeah. Starting.
Yeah. I think nothing's off the table right now.
Would you be in favor if it be possible? Would you be in favor of starting early though, Bear?
No, because Roger, I don't see how that's possible right now.
Okay,
we're still going to be dealing with you know, I really feel like we're still going to be dealing with, you know, the pandemic even in during the summer.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll be getting a, hopefully if everybody can do what, you know, the doctors and the government saying, we can get it slowed down and get it under control. But, you know, right now we're still, I mean, we're a long way from that right now.
Yeah. I hear you. It's a wild way, right? It's a wild way to know about that, right? It's a wild way. It's still a wild way, right? For that.
Yeah.
Right?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, it sure is.
I got you. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'd be curious, y'all, see how long it's going to be, you know, for this. So I'd be curious about that. But it's going to be interesting what happens. But I'll have you. Y'all have a good night. Good night.
Thanks, Rod.
You too, buddy.
Great phone call. Bear, do you feel, are we good here? Do all right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to get off and do I have any homework assignments tonight?
Watch Tiger King, bro. I've been trying to get, who finished it? Tanner, you finished it, right?
Yes.
And Trey's the one holdout. All right. When Trey finishes, I feel like it's too late to talk about now. I feel like everybody's seen it and digested it and moved on to whatever's next. Oh, well. Maybe we'll talk about it. We're talking about it anyway today. Thank you, Trey. Great work by you. Don't forget, Rick Barnes on the drive tomorrow at the top of our 5 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that. Tanner, thanks so much for all your hard work behind the scenes. Really appreciate you, my friend. We will do it again tomorrow, 3 to 6, right here on Fan Run Radio.